Hello, my name is Gita Sood. I'm an infectious disease physician at Johns Hopkins University and also the lead for long COVID at New York State. I am presenting today on cardiovascular symptoms associated with long COVID. This work is under the Long COVID Education, Engagement, and Care Management Program convened by the Council of Medical Specialty Societies. So we're going to start by talking about some of the common presentations that patients with long COVID present with. One of the most common symptoms that people with long COVID will have is palpitations. And this is tachycardial atrial arrhythmias, and this can occur at rest or with exertion or spontaneously. What's challenging in these patients is that you have to separate out patients with true heart rhythm abnormalities versus those that have symptoms that may not be related to structural changes. So, as one of my colleagues, Alba Azola, says, in many of these symptoms, it's really a not a hardware problem, but a software problem. So this is something important to keep in mind as you see patients with palpitations. Also, you will probably note that there's a lot of overlap with patients with POTS type symptoms. Another common presentation in patients with long COVID is chest pain. And this kind of chest pain can be either pleuritic or anginal. And it can occur either at rest, with exertion, or deep inspiration. And again, here it's important to separate out the structural abnormalities with more software types of dysfunction. And one of the clues with chest pain, as Dr. Azola has pointed out, is that it often presents a little bit differently than the way angina from cardiovascular disease might. So, for example, you might have pain that gets worse after rest or actually worsens after the activity has stopped, which is not really typical for most patients with angina. So, if you see something like that, particularly in a young person, then you may want to be thinking a little bit more about chronotropic incompetence that is associated with long COVID rather than truly structural changes. Exertional dyspnea is also relatively common with a prevalence of 8 to 12%. And this can also occur at rest, with exertion, or spontaneously. And this has a lot of overlap with patients with pulmonary symptoms and can also be associated with true heart rhythm abnormalities. Another clinical pearl or tip is that a lot of patients use wearables to help them detect cardiac rhythm abnormalities. And sometimes, when you use wearables, even if you have tachycardia, based on some of the limitations of these wearables, it actually shows up as bradycardia. And this is something that's recognized in the cardiovascular world, but may not be as familiar to those of us that are taking care of patients with long COVID. One of the most important things to be thinking about when you see somebody with long COVID is ruling out structural cardiac pathology. And this is where things get complicated because these symptoms are fairly common. And as you know, these symptoms can be an indicator of pretty significant severe disease structurally. So, ruling out structural disease is an important part of the process when you are evaluating patients with long COVID. Some of the very common structural abnormalities that you can see related to the cardiovascular system are things like myocarditis and pericarditis. We talked a little bit about the arrhythmias, but there can be significant tachycardia or even bradycardia related to long COVID. And of course, we know that long COVID increases your incidence of cardiovascular events and other structural anginal ischemic events. Also, long COVID has been associated with a higher incidence of heart failure and thromboembolic events. So, the challenge is to be able to treat patients symptomatically, but then also make sure that we are not missing any of these structural and potentially severe consequences of long COVID. So, as we mentioned, the prevalence for these symptoms is fairly common. Palpitations, chest pain, and exertional dyspnea all occur in about 10% of patients that present with long COVID. So, it's highly likely if you are taking care of somebody with long COVID that they will present with one of these cardiovascular manifestations. For assessments, if you see somebody with palpitations, you would evaluate them the same way that you evaluate any other patient that you might see with palpitations. So you would obtain an ECG and potentially a Holter monitor. You may also want to consider screening for anxiety and mood disorders because that can also cause symptoms of palpitations. If you see somebody with chest pain in the office, again, you would assess them in the same way that you would other patients that present to your office with chest pain without a history of long COVID. You would be thinking about cardiovascular disease as well as pulmonary emboli and the usual tests of EKG, chest X-ray, CT scan would be helpful in making the diagnosis of thromboembolic disease or pulmonary emboli. For exertional dyspnea, patients often have this symptom, and the evaluation of patients with exertional dyspnea can be somewhat complicated because many different diseases can present with shortness of breath symptoms. So, to assess somebody with exertional dyspnea, you would obtain a pulmonary function test, an EKG, a chest X-ray, and a CT scan, as well as functional tests of a 6-minute walk with oxygen titration, as well as cardiopulmonary exercise stress test. The treatment for palpitations is challenging to manage the tachyarrhythmia without worsening hypotension. This is complicated, particularly in the setting of POTS disease, which many patients with long COVID have. So, treatment options include metoprolol, propranolol, and nadolol, the beta blockers. And they are generally effective in controlling heart rate. Unfortunately, they may also have significant side effects like hypotension and may exacerbate fatigue. Ibadrapine is another option, which is also quite effective in controlling heart rate, and that has less effects of worsening hypotension. The problem is that it may be challenging to obtain ibadrapine because it's expensive and it may not be covered by insurance and may require prior authorization. As far as treatment, it's first most important to rule out any structural thromboembolic disease. And if there is no structural embolic disease, then symptomatic management would be the treatment of choice. And in that case, NSAIDs may be effective as a first-line treatment, and gabapentin and pregabalin can also be used to help treat chest pain. Gabapentin and pregabalin can be sedating and may worsen fatigue. Low-dose naltrexone can also be used, and that has been associated with mood changes and sedation, and also can be complicated to administer because it needs to be compounded. For exertional dyspnea, treatment that can be offered includes inhaled corticosteroids and long-acting beta agonists. Keep in mind that long-acting beta agonists may exacerbate tachyarrhythmias, and that may be one of the causative reasons for the dyspnea. So, separating those causal mechanisms would be important before prescribing long-acting beta agonists. Another treatment option that works quite well is breathing exercises. So, using breathing exercises to help address the software issue with some of these symptoms has been found to be quite effective when it comes to exertional dyspnea. As you can imagine, there's a lot of overlap between these cardiac symptoms with other manifestations of long COVID and other diseases that you may encounter in your office. For palpitations, there's overlap with postural orthostatic hypotension or POTS disease, and that's something that is highly prevalent in long COVID patients and should be addressed in terms of assessment and treatment along with the cardiovascular symptoms. For chest pain, costochondritis can be also overlapping with the symptoms of chest pain in patients with long COVID. And as we talked about, there are multiple causes of chest pain, like pulmonary emboli or structural heart disease and thromboembolic disease that can cause chest pain that should be considered when you are seeing somebody with this common and severe symptom. Exertional dyspnea can be driven by tachycardia, but can also be related to pulmonary pathology. So, looking at any intrinsic lung disease or reactive airway disease in patients who present with exertional dyspnea would be an important overlap with patients that have exertional dyspnea related to long COVID. For additional information, please visit cmss.org.